lot of Guardians earlier being out of camp with all the everything going on. Guardians Yankees game two tonight. That's a 7:05 first pitch. Talk about a stupid time to start a baseball game. 7:05. We'll have more thoughts on that as well. But speaking of dumb start times, who the hell chose 10 p.m. for a football game?
Which game are we talking about?
The Brown Seahawks.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Oh, that 10 p.m. Yeah, that one.
I thought we were talking about like a regular season thing. But
no.
No, 10 p.m. is terrible.
No.
I mean, we do that for like the one Monday night doubleheader, right?
Yeah.
Or even then, I think it's like 9.
Yeah, it's like 9:10 or something like that. And then they stagger. They push the earlier game up to like, I want to say 7:30-ish. Mm-hmm. So you get some overlap, though. Usually, and what's wild about this is, usually I have heard that is mostly up to coaches when you schedule these games. I think what has complicated it is that it's on, I believe it's on the NFL Network. And so I think that this is the NFL using the Browns and Seahawks, an East-based team with a big following going out west. I think they're using this as like a let's see how this draws kind of thing. I don't know why the hell you're doing with preseason game number 3, though. I mean, 10 p.m. It's just the dumbest freaking time.
Yeah, pretty much. Why not have it 4:30?
Well, okay, so I do know that there's a rule in Seattle about you can't have the Mariners and Seahawks playing at the same time, which I guess means even overlap. And I think Seattle plays it at 4:30 that day. Put that be at 1:00. All right.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Like, I just think the 10 p.m. window. And here's the thing: I would be perturbed by this even if it didn't involve the Browns. Somebody else, like, mess with somebody else's schedule, because it's making me grumpy. Now we're talking about the left tackle spot and how it looks like Conklin's going to get run there potentially if Jed Wills isn't ready. Conklin was on the field, you know, I think working with trainers today, which is something that is new. We haven't seen that. So that's kind of hinting that he's getting closer to coming off the PUP. Am I crazy for thinking I'd probably trust Jack Conklin out on the left side more this year than I might Jed Wills?
Jack Conklin more so than Wills?
At the left tackle.
So I thought about this the other day. I think I even said this. I think right now you'd have to say, I mean, he's clearly a better right tackle, Conklin, than Wills. He might be a better left tackle than Wills.
Well, one, I think if they're using him as a swing tackle, it tells you DeJuan is going to start on the right side. So for all this nonsense about, you know, it's going to be tough to keep DeJuan off the field, it sure feels like we're kind of zoning in that Conklin could be the swing guy. But I just think, like, listen, what Conklin maybe lacks for in experience on the left side, mm-hmm. and honestly, maybe technique and some of the – I know he's going to play through the whistle. And I just think the toughest thing with Jed is, and I don't remember if I've ever even interviewed Jed. I've never had a conversation, but when you turn the tape on, you get 2 good seconds of Jed, and if the play's 3 seconds, well, you're up a certain creek without a paddle. So like, just every time you watch him, there's just been enough clips pulled and put on social media that it makes you wonder if Jed loves football. And dude, you cannot love football, be supremely talented corner, and you're going to be okay. Linebacker, edge rush, you can't if you are a left tackle in the NFL. You can't. There's no covering that. You can shade it with a great left guard. If you don't love it and you play like you don't love it, there's a statute of limitations on what you're going to be able to give somebody on the left side.
Yeah, I think that's also fair, but I don't know that I want to criticize a guy's like love for the game. I understand why you say that, but I don't know that that's fair to say right now. The guy's had injuries. He's moved around. I mean, I don't know, dude. Let's see how the guy does it when he comes back from this injury.
It's year 5, Dustin.
Okay,
like he's not like a rookie.
I understand that.
I mean, because here's the thing. I'm saying it because I've heard it. I've heard
Let's
it.
See what he looks like with the new offensive line coach.
You know, I tried to give him this earlier this year. I did. And he kind of meched me now. And now you're the opposite side meching me now.
I don't remember any of that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's the...
And we live in reality. It's right now.
Yeah, that's right. No simulations. I know you're not a simulation guy.
I don't like simulations. You know why? Because they play the game with human beings.
That's right. That's a real thing. I do think, though, we're hinting at a very expensive problem for the Browns. And that if they've made... Listen, I said in the last segment, if you haven't seen DeJuan Jones at left tackle this year, with everything that's going on, you're not going to see him at all. Maybe they tried him out there. Maybe DeJuan said, I'm not comfortable out there. Maybe they gave him some reps in, you know, mini camps and stuff. I'm imagining that they've just made their decision on DeJuan, which is fine. But then the problem becomes you don't have a left tackle under contract for next year unless Jack Conklin answers that conundrum this season.
I hope he does, because I'm so concerned about protecting Deshaun Watson this year. I think that's the biggest issue we have right now. With obviously his shoulder is a bit of a concern, but him going down with another injury or re-injuring that shoulder, I think that should be where our concern should be.
Well, yeah, but I think the problem becomes even if you get passable left tackle performance this year from Jed or otherwise, I think now Jed's health, I think if you said right now to the Browns, in a moment, you gave them the truth serum, right? I don't know why I said the truth serum. It's like my grandmother calls weed the dope. If you gave them truth serum right now and said, somebody on your roster, is that a dope thing? You dope act?
Dope?
If you would, to Andrew Bear, if he was right here, we gave him truth serum. And we said, somebody on the roster or somebody who's not currently on the roster, who best guess at who's going to be your left tackle next year? I would bet substantial money, if he was being honest, he would admit that unless somebody grabs the brass ring this year, it's going to be somebody else next year. And I think that's a gigantic hole. Listen, the Browns have done a really good job of piecemealing. All right, the edge spot across from Miles. They've done a good job at piecemealing the safety room. I actually think even with the injuries, might end up being one of the better safety rooms we've had in a minute. Wide receiver, they've just continued to throw things at it. Dude, not since they traded for Amari have they been in the spot that they are right now with the left tackle spot in the future.
I am very concerned about where we go from here because I don't want to have to draft another one in the first round.
Yeah, and listen, if things go the way you planned, you're not picking till 30 anyways.
Right.
Or 22. So, yeah, you have found starting left tackles, but once you get outside the top 10, you just don't know. I mean, hell, even when you take him in the top 10, as proven with Jed, you don't know. And then it becomes, well, what about Trent Williams? Because I saw somebody, I think it was Mary Kay Cabot, was asked about Trent Williams and would the Browns, you know, should the Browns trade for him? Like, instead of the Amari in a second for Ayuk, second and fifth and Amari for Ayuk, would you do Jed or Jack? And second or third round pick, and I'm like, I don't think you're getting Trent Williams. I think San Francisco's just waiting to pay Trent until they get the Ayuk nonsense over with. Because there's no, I could see them trading Ayuk and getting a player back who can give you similar production, a la Amari. You're not trading Trent and getting a similar player back, or a guy that you can trust half as much. Here's the other thing. Would be an incredible risk in and of itself because he's 36. So he can say, I want to play till I'm 39 or 40. When you're 36 and you're a 330-pound tackle or whatever Trent is, that is a year-by-year proposition.
You think Trent would even be any good here?
I mean, I think he's good wherever. I think he's – like, to me, he took over for Joe as the best left tackle in the game when Joe retired.
Yeah, how old is he now?
36, dude.
Oh, 36.
36.
Okay. I guess I'd take him for a year. I'm not giving up anything.
So does So is it just fait accompli? You think we're going to go into the next season?
Oh, yeah.
You said draft. I think what's interesting is if they try and do what.
Or do you sign one in free agency?
Well, that's what Kansas City's done. That Juwan Taylor, now he's on the right side. Who's a kid from Tampa? Brown. The big left tackle from Tampa. I'm probably.
What can Brown do for you?
Well, if he plays left tackle for the Chiefs,
not much. Well, for us, a lot.
No, I think he would be another Jed Wills. Because that's the problem is they got – oh, no, it's Donovan Smith. I don't know where Brown came from. But they put Donovan Smith and Juwan Taylor last year. And everybody talked about the lack of weapons in Kansas City. I don't think it helped that they had honestly just bleep poor performance at the tackle spot.
Yeah.
So you're either going to draft a kid who might never be ready or might be a work in progress early, or you're going to take a risk on a tackle that is either not very good or basically is somebody else's version of Jed Wills.
What if Jed bounces back this year? Does that change your mindset for what they do in the offseason?
He has to dispel every concern about whether he truly loves the game or not.
Well, how does he do that? Just by his play?
Yeah, I mean, I think playing to the whistle. I mean, they told you, the Browns told you as much last year when that was their big mission. Like, hey, what are you working on with Jed? Playing to the whistle. It's about playing hard. Like, if you play hard for 2 seconds, but the play's 3 seconds, okay, you got a 66% of the way there. Like, you can't in good conscience pay Jed, can you?
I think it depends how he plays and if he's healthy.
I think he better unlock beast mode. So for you, if he plays the way he's played the last 4 years, you're cool with re-signing him?
I guess I'd have to see the numbers, and I'd have to see some improvement this year.
So what does that mean? Top 12? 13th? 11th?
What, with where he plays? Like, you're ranking him?
Yeah, where he
like
stacks
PFF
up.
Rankings?
Give me that PFF.
Yeah, I don't care as much about that. I care more about, like, if the offense has changed, does he fit what they're trying to do? I mean, can he protect in this deal? I mean, tackles have to play differently when you've got a quarterback that does want to improvise a little bit more, and I do think that that's what they're trying to do with Watson. So maybe the athleticism of Jed Wills will shine through with this new Ken Dorsey offense. I don't know that to be fact, but I do think that some things could change this year. New offensive line coach, new offensive coordinator, and hopefully the offseason surgery allows him to come back and be 100%. I don't know why I'm a stan for Jed Wills right now, but I'm going to be.
The number one Jed Wills stan in the state of Ohio, Dustin Fox.
That's what they've said.
He's a Wills guy. That's what they always say about him. Where there's a Wills,
there's a Ways.
There's a Dustin. John Greco joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, welcome to the show.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. You know, we're talking about the Browns out here. Today, Deshaun was held back in practices after a little bit of run-through in 11-on-11s for general arm soreness. Does that register anywhere on the concern meter for you?
No, at this stage in the game, concerning the Dallas game, no. I think this reduces the likelihood that we see him against Seattle. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't think so. I think that at least with my history with the Browns, Kevin Stefanski's time with the Browns, and knowing their training staff, they lean more toward the conservative side due to injuries and keeping guys out and fresh and being cautious. So I think it's probably just a thing where, you know, they said, hey, look, we have a certain workload that you have hit. We are going to pull you out. If it's not feeling 100% or something's going on, let's just shut it down, and we need you healthy for week one against Dallas here in a few weeks. So I'm not overly concerned at this point, but I do think it decreased the chance that we see him with any action against Seattle.
You think he needs to play against Seattle? And if he does, why? And what do you want to see?
This is the million-dollar question. I think each player is different, Dustin. And you know, when I played, I had to get close to full speed reps, live bullet reps as possible. Now, I'm not Deshaun Watson, but, you know, he's missed some time, obviously, and his case is unique. He's coming off an injury. So I think, you know, let's look at it this way. If there was zero chance that he gets injured against Seattle, here's why he should be playing, why he needs to play. To get the full speed mechanics in the huddle, taking the center quarterback exchange, calling plays, seeing defenses, seeing live bullets or as close as you can get to that, without it being Browns versus Browns in training camp where you know no one's going to get touched. And, yeah, you know, you'd like to see him take a little shot and get tackled and get pushed around and pushed out of bounds and land on the ground, because that's going to be happening when he goes out there when the bullets are flying. So for those reasons, yeah, I think it's important to get at least a little bit of action in the preseason. But with all of this, you know, going on today and with everything that you know, there's now 17 games, I think the risk-reward – it definitely favors, you know, keeping him out. But, like I said, I knew guys that you know, were at the top of their game at their position, and they were like, no, I want to play at least a series or two to go through that pregame ritual, that regimen, to get ready for a game and go through that. And these were guys that played 10, 11, 12 years. So I think it was a case-by-case situation. And for Deshaun, you know, who knows? Maybe he's telling them, I want to be out there, and they're erring on the side of, you know, no, we need you for week one. It's just the preseason. We need you for week one. We can't afford to take any more setbacks.
If Kevin leans one way on Deshaun playing in this preseason game and Deshaun leans the other, ultimately who has the say on whether Deshaun plays on Saturday?
I think if the head coach is saying one thing, he doesn't have the, you know, that's not just one opinion versus one opinion. Coach Stefanski is in behind the scenes meeting with Andrew Berry, with other brass, with the head trainers, the doctors, and they're all kind of getting their story straight and coming up with an opinion and making a decision. Now, Deshaun can come out and say, absolutely, I want to play, and that can get overruled because they're going to say, hey, look, you're down. We need you, and they'll argue their case why he shouldn't be playing. I've known guys that were actually injured that were pounding the table that no, we want to be out there, but they were, you know, convinced ultimately that this one game, and you're talking a preseason game, is, you know, isn't worth risking of, you know, injuring yourself more or having a setback that could further hurt you and the team and the organization for a longer period of time. So I think if it's the decision is between Deshaun Watson and yes, I want to play, and the decision is no, you're not, no matter what, I'm saying that the larger number of no's wins that argument.
Nick Chubb's been squatting like 1,000 pounds.
Same.
But he's not on the field and may not be for a little while. Does that concern you? I mean, and again, like, how do you do that? How do you get in the weight room and put that much weight on? I know it's different than agility and side to side lateral movement and those sort of things, but I think fans don't get it because you're like, man, that guy's back to 100%. Yet, why is he not on the field?
Yeah, great question, and that just shows me that, you know, he's sending the message that I'm ready. I can't wait for them to, you know, take the training wheels off and let me out there. So I think it's more of a positive than anything. The fact that he's doing that in the weight room and he's broadcasting it and showing it, he wants to know, and I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to get back out there and let everybody know that, you know, he's going to come out and have he's going to look the same, if not run harder and play better. So I'm looking at it as a positive that we're seeing that from him. And you know, I can go in the weight room and look like a weight room hero. I certainly can't do what he's doing, but that's different. That doesn't necessarily translate to being ready to be an NFL running back and handle, you know, 20, 25, 30 carries in a game, which they're going to need from him as the season wears on. So I'm going to go with the same approach of the training staff and this organization when it comes to injuries. They're not going to rush him back. They're doing everything that they can behind the scenes to get him ready. But what you're seeing, I would look at more as a positive thing than anything, that he's back, he's ready. He's trying to show everybody in the organization, himself, and the fans that he's going to be back where we need him to be this year.
John Greco, former Browns offensive lineman on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jed Wills on the PUP. Conklin is also on the PUP, but seems closer to coming back here. So if Jed can't go to start the season at left tackle, who are you most comfortable with between Jack Conklin, Joel Bitonio, DeJuan Jones, or James Hudson at left tackle?
Another great question. And, you know, I'm interested to see how this group's going to look without Bill Callahan. It's a veteran group. It's a talented group, but it's a group that's been bitten by the injury bug as of late. And, you know, I hear the conversations, and I have them every year when I talk to fans and do radio hits. When people ask, you know, can a right tackle flip over to left tackle? Is that easy to move a left guard to left tackle? So what I would say, they're going to be thinking about and working those different combinations. They're probably doing them at practice and thinking about it behind the scenes. You know, we don't get a chance to see it in preseason. That's what's a nice part about preseason, to work those combinations, but guys are injured. So I fall into the camp that I try not to move too many guys out of their natural position, because I've been a part of that where we've had a center go down. I've moved from a starting position into which is what my backup role was at a different position. And then you're bringing another backup role person in to fill in another starter spot. So I think if everybody's healthy and Jack Conklin's healthy, I think he's your right tackle. Now, Vic Danos, if they want to experiment and he can play some left tackle, I say why not? He's a young guy. I think he's shown the ability that he can move at right and maybe see what he can do at left. When Jed's back, obviously that's his job. But moving Joel, you're talking about moving a Pro Bowl, All-Pro player that has done it, and I don't think he'd do anything for the team, but I don't know if he wants that to be his role to start the season, because you're talking about moving guys out of their natural positions that are Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber players. So I think you have to move maybe DeJuan over to left and experiment it. If not, Hudson, plug him in, help him out with tight ends, with chips, with all those things that we talk about when tackles are typically down. But if Jack Conklin's back in there, I know he played left tackle in college. You know, that was a long time ago. I don't know if it's like, riding a bike for a guy. I played left tackle in college, and every time they tried to put me out there and practice a left tackle, it was more of a comedic show. So I think I err always on the side of leaving guys at their that are at their natural position to try not to mess up the flow of things.
John, beyond this year, Jed's on the fifth year of a rookie contract, his last year. The team is not, to this point, struck an extension with him. I haven't really even heard scuttlebutt of that happening. You mentioned DeJuan. You mentioned, some of the options here. If you had to, would you bet money on somebody currently on the roster being the starting left tackle next year? Or would you bet money, would you be more willing to bet money that the starting left tackle starting next year is not currently on the roster?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I would say I would bet money that the starting left tackle we're talking in 2025, 26 is not on the roster because of so many uncertainties and things that aren't proven to get to the other answer. Like I said, I mentioned DeJuan Jones playing left tackle. Who knows? Maybe that doesn't work out. And then you're in a predicament because you have a guy that showed that he was very capable of playing right. But then you have Jack Conklin at right tackle, a guy that you've paid a lot of money and invested a lot of money into. But I think Jed Wills, this being a contract year for him, needs to go out, prove himself. First and foremost, stay healthy, because the best productivity is availability. So if he's out there healthy playing in games, he's shown signs that he can, be serviceable and be good and do the job. But there's also that uncertainty, too, for some of the things that he's shown that's frustrated a lot of fans and potentially the team and his injury history. So I'm going to err on the side of, you know, that the starting left tackle for we haven't even started this year, for next year is not on the team because of all those uncertainties.
You know, it's funny. You and I played a little while ago, and at least I do. I look at camp, and I'm like, man, this is so easy. Like, I wish I was out here with this this camp cupcake. I'm being a little facetious, but you get the point. You know, Nick and I talk about this all the time, and I'm curious your take. Do you think there's a correlation between, like, how tough a camp is and how tough a team is and, like, how well they play throughout the season?
Yeah, I do. That's been an argument since the beginning of time. And when you and I played, the old heads before us told us how easy we had it. And we told guys how easy they had it, you know, in my fourth and fifth year, and then in my 10th and 11th year. You know, I think the fact of the matter is the game evolves, and I think that there's so much data and study on the importance of taking care of guys' bodies and limiting hits. Now, I do think that you need to, I always talk about it, you need those full-speed reps because, you know, 17 games, like if you lose your first three games, you can rebound and still win your division and get to the playoffs. But, you know, if you start slow and you start the first, you know, less than quarter of the season 0-4, then you're talking about we got to fire the coach. We need this guy drafted. We got to do X, Y, and Z in the draft. Make these free agent moves. So I think that even though the window got one game larger, there's still not a lot of room for error because if you take all these chances and have hits after hits during the week of training camp and you have guys on the shelf. Now look, you look across the league. There's still guys going down with Achilles injuries, ACLs. You know, soft tissue injuries, and we're talking about being a soft training camp. So I just think a lot of it has to do with luck. And to answer your question, I think the teams that play smart and play tough are the toughest teams. I don't necessarily think that if you're out there like the days in the 70s and early 80s when everything's just cracking at two-a-days and you're hitting hard, I don't think that directly correlates to having a tough team. I think the toughest teams are the ones that have the best leadership, are the smartest, try to play close to mistake-free football as they can, and execute their toughness on the field like that. I don't think it directly correlates to, you know, who's hooting and hollering the most and smashing the most helmets in practice.
John, let me ask you, where do you start the expectations for the Browns this year?
Guys, I'm expecting. I look at the headlines. I see what the national media says, and I got to be honest. I don't see them picked higher than second in the division. Really, anywhere I look, I'm not saying that that's what I think. But they have a tough schedule. A lot of teams that they're playing were in the playoffs last year, and that's what happened. So, I do think that Deshaun Watson, if healthy, this team can win 10, 11 games. Absolutely. And I think the defense is going to be in a situation where, they're holding teams to under 14 points a game in a lot of situations, in a lot of cases. As long as the offense can score and they're not playing from a deficit and let that defense do their thing, the offense isn't going to have to, you know, do anything spectacular. They're just going to run Kevin Stefanski's offense and take shots when appropriate and control the clock and the line of scrimmage. And mix in play action. So if the plan works like it's intended to, and you have all these healthy players, assuming nobody gets hurt, I absolutely think they can win 10, 11 games. But it's going to be tough. You know, the division got a little bit tougher. It's changed. You have different quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. There's a lot of uncertainty. You have a lot of playoff teams that are coming in, and you open up with a good one in an NFC East foe in Dallas. So I think as long as they start hot and minimize the injuries, look, every team's saying the same thing. I think the sky's the limit. I think you could be 10, 11, maybe 12 games.
John, this is a random, weird question to end the interview on, but I asked a bunch of good ones earlier. Have you ever eaten vegetarian food?
Yes, on accident. It's happened a few times. But I have, yeah, vegetarian food. I don't necessarily go out of my way to eat it, but I have before. And there's some vegetarian dishes in Italian cuisine, which I'm a big fan of. You know, I like eggplant and zucchini, and this time of year it's a little bit easier with all of the garden vegetables. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. I don't, like I said, it's not 100% of my diet, but I've done it.
There is, the way you put it is what I experienced today. I promise you, I asked that for a reason. We're going to play that coming back. John, great stuff, man. Happy that football's back because it means we hear more of you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Guys, thank you. Glad to be back with you.
Thank you so much. John Greco there, former Browns offensive lineman, Toledo alum on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Interesting take. He said he would move DeJuan over to left tackle first, and it seems like the Browns might be considering doing the opposite, which is putting Conklin at left tackle when he comes off the PUP and leaving DeJuan on the right side. I think that's interesting.
I think that is something that makes probably the most sense right now. I think DeJuan's more comfortable at right, and Conklin sort of answers and fills a void, which is what we have at left tackle, at least until Jed Wills comes back, right?
Yeah, if... I don't want to say if Jed will come back.
Or do you
think
there's a chance that Jed is just not going to, you know, be the same player? Maybe he's just there for depth if DeJuan plays well and Conklin plays well.
I mean, listen, if DeJuan and Conklin come out, and let's say it takes a couple weeks for Jed to come back, you can't tell me if Conklin looks really good at left tackle and if DeJuan looks really, really good at right tackle. Conklin's actually under contract next year. Like, the sneakiest thing in the world is if those two guys answered your conundrum at tackle, instead of having them both at right tackle, if Conklin could slide over to the left side, I'll be honest with you, it would not be the worst thing if Jed came back and ended up having to be the swing tackle because, well, you got two guys who are playing well. Like, if you get 4 or 5 weeks of the season and your tackles are playing well and it's Conklin and it's Jones – would it surprise you if they just went with those and had Jed kind of on the bench? It wouldn't surprise me.
I would not be surprised by that, especially because of how poorly he's played in the past. And if you find guys that play with consistency and play well together, that's what you're looking for, right? I mean, you're trying to find the best five guys that can play up front together, sort of playing that string and, you know, allow Deshaun to get more confident in the offense and know that he's going to have great protection.
So if you have a smart speaker, catch up on the biggest news of the day with one simple command, play 92.3 The Fan. I, like John Greco, was accidentally vegetarian this morning. And it infuriated me, Dustin.
Tell me all about it.
Well, didn't have time to make myself some breakfast today. You know, I was getting the girls ready for first day of school, getting myself ready to come back to work today. But time just kind of fell out, so I went and stopped along the way at one of my favorite places to grab coffee. And they have a breakfast sandwich, and I just saw the name and said it. It was just on the menu, wasn't thinking about it. And I got, 10 minutes down the road, it had a couple drinks off the old coffee there, and it took a bite of the sandwich and immediately realized it was not what I had ordered. Okay, no, that's not true. It's exactly what I ordered, but I didn't realize that what I had ordered was a vegetarian sausage, egg, and cheese omelet. I cannot tell you how disappointing this accidentally vegetarian experience was for me.
I've never tried one of those.
Well, here's the thing.
Or anything really vegetarian or something that's supposed to be like fake meat.
I guarantee you, and I actually have had good vegetarian things that where the veggies, it's just a lot of vegetables. In this case, when you're going for sausage and you get veggies, it's a rude ass awakening to have paid anywhere from $5 to $10 for a sandwich. Now, here's the thing: is pretty much anything called an impossible? That's basically short for vegetarian, right?
At this point, yes.
Because I thought it was just one.
Why do they
fast
call it
food.
Impossible? Because it's impossible that this thing tastes that good?
Yeah, I think it's like a play on people saying it's impossible to replace meat-based product.
Yeah.
Or, you know, good food. And I, again, because here's the thing. I thought it was just – I thought they only used that word from one brand. So I feel like I got Trojan horsed. I was like, oh, this thing's impossible. It must be impossibly good. It was impossibly not sausage.
Impossibly bad.
And kinda, that's all I got on my stomach right now is that thing. And I, my stomach's a little angry.
Sorry. How'd things turn out?
I mean, we're okay. I didn't mean angry like I got bubble guts or anything.
Yeah,
I mean, like, that's not the acceptable thing to build your whole day around when I'm not going to eat again until I get home.
Boy, that's an unfortunate.
It's definitely unfortunate.
An unfortunate circumstance that you ran into there. I've never tried the Impossible Burger. You know, I was going to one day. I was going to try one of those Impossible Whoppers at BK.
Yeah.
Didn't do it.
Yeah, I never would do it intentionally. And I want to make, it wasn't awful. It just wasn't, when you get your mouth ready for something and then you give it something completely different.
I can see how that'd be.
It's upsetting is what I'll say.
Yeah,
it is.
And certainly would be confusing.
Why are you giving me the salt and vinegar over there?
Can't even see my eyes.
The S and V's, as we call it.
How can you see my eyes?
I mean, we both do have sunglasses on. Because I see it in the rest of your face. 216-474-0092. Have you ever been accidentally vegan? Or is vegan a vegetarian? Have you ever thought you were going to go ahead and get normal food? No offense, vegetarians. And then you got that crap. Offense. Offense, offense, offense. Still upset about it. I paid for it. That's what makes me more. Because then I had to eat it. If you pay for it, you got to eat it. Everybody knows that.
Guys, thank you. Glad to be back with you.
Thank you so much. John Greco there, former Browns offensive lineman, Toledo alum on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Interesting take. He said he would move DeJuan over to left tackle first, and it seems like the Browns might be considering doing the opposite, which is putting Conklin at left tackle when he comes off the PUP and leaving DeJuan on the right side. I think that's interesting.
I think that is something that makes probably the most sense. Right now, I think DeJuan's more comfortable at right, and Conklin sort of answers and fills a void, which is what we have at left tackle, at least until Jed Wills comes back, right?
Yeah. I don't want to say if Jed will come back.
Or do you
think
there's a chance that Jed is just not going to be the same player? Maybe he's just there for depth. If DeJuan plays well and Conklin plays well.
I mean, if DeJuan and Conklin come out, and let's say it takes a couple weeks for Jed to come back. You can't tell me if Conklin looks really good at left tackle and if DeJuan looks really, really good at right tackle. Conklin's actually under contract next year. Like, the sneakiest thing in the world is if those two guys answered your conundrum at tackle, instead of having them both at right tackle, if Conklin could slide over to the left side – I'll be honest with you. It would not be the worst thing if Jed came back and ended up having to be the swing tackle because, well, you got two guys who are playing well. Like, if you get 4 or 5 weeks of the season and your tackles are playing well and it's Conklin and it's Jones, would it surprise you if they just went with those and had Jed kind of on the bench? It wouldn't surprise me.
I would not be surprised by that, especially because of how poorly he's played in the past. And if you find guys that play with consistency and play well together, that's what you're looking for, right? I mean, you're trying to find the best five guys that can play up front together, sort of playing that string and, you know, allow Deshaun to get more confident in the offense and know that he's going to have great protection.
So if you have a smart speaker, catch up on the biggest news of the day with one simple command, play 92.3 The Fan. I, like John Greco, was accidentally vegetarian this morning. And it infuriated me, Dustin.
Tell me all about it.
Well, didn't have time to make myself some breakfast today. You know, I was getting the girls ready for first day of school, getting myself ready to come back to work today. But time just kind of fell out, so I went and stopped along the way at one of my favorite places to grab coffee. And they have a breakfast sandwich, and I just saw the name and said it. It was just on the menu, wasn't thinking about it. And I got, 10 minutes down the road, had a couple drinks off the old coffee there, and I took a bite of the sandwich and immediately realized it was not what I had ordered. Okay, no, that's not true. It's exactly what I ordered, but I didn't realize that what I had ordered was a vegetarian sausage, egg, and cheese omelet. I cannot tell you how disappointing this accidentally vegetarian experience was for me.
I've never tried one of those.
Well, here's the thing.
Or anything really vegetarian or something that's supposed to be like fake meat.
I guarantee you. And I actually have had good vegetarian things that where the veggies, it's just a lot of vegetables. In this case, when you're going for sausage and you get veggies, it's a rude ass awakening to have paid anywhere from $5 to $10 for a sandwich. Now here's the thing. Is pretty much anything called an impossible? That's basically short for vegetarian, right?
At this point, yes.
Because I thought it was just one.
Why do they
fast
call it
food.
Impossible? Because it's impossible that this thing tastes that good?
Yeah, I think it's like a play on people saying it's impossible to replace meat-based product.
Yeah.
Or, you know, good food. Because here's the thing. I thought they only used that word from one brand. So I feel like I got Trojan horsed. I was like, oh, this thing's impossible. It must be impossibly good. It was impossibly not sausage.
Impossibly bad.
And kinda, that's all I got on my stomach right now is that thing. And my stomach's a little angry.
Sorry. How'd things turn out?
I mean, we're okay. I didn't mean angry like I got bubble guts or anything.
Yeah,
I mean like that's not the acceptable thing to build your whole day around when I'm not going to eat again until I get home.
Boy, that's an unfortunate.
It's definitely unfortunate.
An unfortunate circumstance that you ran into there. I've never tried the Impossible Burger. You know, I was going to one day. I was going to try one of those Impossible Whoppers at BK.
Yeah,
didn't do it.
Yeah, I never would do it intentionally. And I want to make it wasn't awful. It just wasn't when you get your mouth ready for something and then you give it something completely different.
I can see how that'd be.
It's upsetting is what I'll say.
Yeah,
it is.
And certainly would be confusing.
Why are you giving me the salt and vinegar over there?
Can't even see my eyes.
The S&Vs, as we call it.
How can you see my eyes?
I mean, we both do have sunglasses on. Because I see it in the rest of your face. 216-474-0092. Have you ever been accidentally vegan, or is vegan a vegetarian? Have you ever thought you were going to go ahead and get normal food? No offense, vegetarians. And then you got that crap. Offense. Offense, offense, offense. Still upset about it. I paid for it. That's what makes me more. Because then I had to eat it. If you pay for it, you got to eat it. Everybody knows that.